A young manager named Steve resolved to visit each of his employees, all six of whom he had not seen face-to-face in over 6 months. Even though they worked in the same building and on the same floor, Steve wanted to tell each of them how much he appreciated them and name one thing that they did with excellence. After the visit from Steve, one of his software engineers, Lenny, presented him with an Xbox gaming console. Steve was taken aback as he knew that Lenny had taken several pay cuts that year and couldn't really afford to do this, and he was really surprised when he found out that the money had come from the sale of a 9mm pistol, a pistol that Lenny had bought months earlier with the intention of killing himself. Lenny told him of his mother's death the previous year and of his loneliness and depression. Lenny wrote this: "I started a routine every night after work, eating a bowl of ramen, listening to Nirvana, and getting the gun out. It took almost a month to get the courage to put the bullets in the gun. It took another couple of months to get used to the feeling of the barrel of the gun on the top of my teeth. For the last few weeks, I was putting ever slow, slight pressure on the trigger, and I was getting so close, Steve, so close. But last week, you freaked me out. You came into my cubicle, put your arm around me, and told me you appreciated me because I turn all my projects in early, and that helps you sleep at night. You also said that I have a great sense of humor over email and that you are glad I came into your life. That night I went home, ate ramen, and listened to Nirvana, and when I got the gun out, it scared me silly for the first time. All I could think about was what you said, that you were glad I came into your life. So the next day I went back to the pawn shop and I sold the gun. I remembered that you had said you wanted the Xbox more than anything, but with a new baby at home, could not afford it. So for my life, you get this game. Thanks, boss." Words. Sometimes just the right words come to us at just the right moment in life, and they change everything. In his autobiography, Dr. Lewis Smedes writes of a turning point for his life that came in a freshman English composition class at Calvin College. He writes, "The first class of the day of my first semester with English comp, the teacher was Jacob Vandenbosch. He introduced me that day to a God the likes of whom I had never even heard about, a God who liked elegant sentences and was offended by dangling modifiers." This laid the foundation for Smead's ministry as a writer. Sometimes just the right words come to us at just the right moment in life, and they change everything. In the passage that Dr. Matthews read just a minute ago, Deuteronomy 32, 45 through 47, Israel is at a crossroads. It's poised as a nation on the edge of the Jordan, crossing to possess the promised land. It is a critical moment in the nation's history. If things went wrong, they wouldn't be a nation. They wouldn't receive the promise. They would have no place to live. God's word to them about the promised land would just lie in the dust. And think of all the things that God could have given them at this moment. God could have simply provided riches. He had given manna from heaven, flown in quail. Why not money and jewels? They could have hired armies to fight for them. In our churches, sometimes we think, boy, if we just had more money, we could really accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. God could have given miracles. He could have just revisited the miracles of the Exodus. But God did neither. He didn't give these things. He gave words. After Moses finished reciting all these words, and this is the Guthrie True translation of the passage, he said to them, "Embrace in your heart all these words I am solemnly speaking to you today. so that you may instruct your children to follow carefully all the words of this law. For they are not empty words to you. Rather, they are your life. And by them you will live in the land a long time. This land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. I want us to take a look at this passage just for a few minutes, because right now we are standing at the crossroads of a new year. A crossroads that could lead us down various paths in life, some good and some bad. For most of you, the words you embrace in the next year or two or three are going to shoot you down roads that you never had imagined. So what would this word at Israel's crossroads say to us at our crossroads in life right now? Well, the first thing I think this word would say to us this morning is, embrace God's word in your heart. Embrace God's word in your heart. Some of your translations read, take to heart. Now, we think of the heart as the seat of our emotions. If somebody breaks up with us, we say, my heart is broken. But in the Bible, this word heart is much bigger than that. It takes in a lot more territory. It refers to who you are inside, the inner person, your mind, the way you think, your will, your conscience, your moral character, as well as your memory and your affections. The heart, from the Bible's perspective, can be hardened toward God as who we are inside turns away from Him and turns inward. Or it can be softened, plowed up like ground that is fertile and ready to receive the seed. What this passage encourages us to do is to put the word down in the middle of who we are as people, to embrace it with all that we are at the center of who we are. And the fact is that lots of voices speak into your life every day and speak into my life. And the question is, will you and I embrace God's word for us? Just because we're here at Union, in a place where God's word and the words of that word are given attention, does not mean that you and I will really hear the word of the Lord. About 10 years before most of you were born, Mount St. Helens up in Washington State erupted. It was the deadliest and most economically destructive volcanic event in the history of the United States. The explosion could be heard 600 miles away. And yet, when people were being interviewed after this event, something very interesting showed up. For many people who were just within a couple of miles of that explosion, they didn't hear the explosion at all. And scientists explain that as that mountain erupted and shot up into the stratosphere, that the sound went up with such force, it then bounced off, but also bounced outward away from those who were closest to the explosion itself. So that they were right next to it, but some of them thought that it was simply a cloudy day at first that had darkened the land. It is possible for you to be in a place and for me to be in a place like Union where people are thinking about the Word, trying to live the Word. Your teachers are trying to integrate God's Word in what you're learning in your classes. And it is possible for God to be speaking forcefully into your life, to speak to your heart. And yet, for you to turn a deaf ear and not hear it and not embrace it. We have got to embrace God's way of seeing things. The word of the Lord came to Noah and he embraced it and built a boat. The word of the Lord came to Abraham, and he embraced it, leaving his familiar surroundings, believing that God would give him a son. The word of the Lord came to Moses, and he embraced it and led the people out of Egypt. The word of the Lord came to David, who took up the mantle of king. And the word of the Lord came to Peter and James and John, and they embraced him, because they knew that to embrace him meant to embrace the heart of God's words. This morning, the word of the Lord comes to you and to me. Will we embrace it? Well, secondly, this passage says to us that we should embrace God's words to determine our destiny. Embrace God's words to determine your destiny. Verse 46 says, so that you may instruct your children to carefully follow all the words of this law. In the ancient world, your destiny, to a great extent, as a people, was bound up in your children. If you as a people are to live in the land, God is saying, it is going to be because your children embrace a certain vision of life by embracing the Lord's words, His vision for life. Any generation of God's people is only one generation away from extinction. The Hebrew words here, two Hebrew words that we translate to carefully follow. The first word means to guard, to watch over, to protect, to retain. It means to focus on God's word carefully so that you're paying careful attention to it. And the second Hebrew word means to carry out or to perform. So what he is saying here is be very careful with God's words. Be very careful with the way you think about and respond and interact with God's words. Because this is going to determine the outcome of your direction in life. I was sharing with my Intro to Bible Study class yesterday how they used to train Arabian horses to carry the kings and queens of Europe. And what they would do is they would take a whole herd of horses, and now this mass of horses, they would pick one or two animals that were powerful, beautiful animals, intelligent. And for months and months, they would train those horses using a whistle so that the horse would stop when the whistle blew a certain way. The horse would turn left when it was blown a certain way. And after months of training, when it seemed that the horse was just completely, absolutely obedient to the trainer's whistle, they would put the horse in a corral and they would give it no food and very little water for several days. At the end of that period of time, the hunger in that horse would start rising up. The horse would become restless. And then they would put a trough of food and a trough of water out in the pasture, open the gate, and the horse would take off for that trough of food. And halfway to the trough of food, the trainer would blow the whistle for the horse to stop. And if the horse stopped, didn't listen to the voice of its hunger, but listened to the voice of the trainer, to the trainer's whistle, that horse's destiny was that it went on to carry the kings and the queens of Europe. You and I have voices speaking into our lives, clamoring for our attention. Things that we want. People whose attention we want. We want approval. Some of you have sexual voices that are speaking into your life, demanding your attention. And the question is, in the midst of this cacophony of voices that are speaking into our lives, will we have a life that is so oriented to God's word, to the trainer's whistle, if you will, as we start down roads in our lives and God's word calls out to us, we will obey. Because that pattern of life, very literally, I can tell you, watching people come through here, leave from here, very literally, that pattern, whether you do it or don't do it, is going to determine your destiny and my destiny. We need to embrace the Word of God because our destiny is determined by a life that is oriented to the Word of God. But to do that, we're going to have to do the third point of this passage. And that is this: discern the difference between empty words and life words. Discern the difference between empty words and life words. Verse 47, they are not empty words to you. Rather, they are your life. The word empty here has to do with something that is void. It can be used to refer to someone who is naked or bare. In the context here, it's talking about words that are meaningless or unimportant. Words that really don't have any significance or substance. And what the passage calls to us to do is to discern when we're looking at God's words over against all the other words that clamor for our attention. It calls for us to focus on God's words as the words that are most significant. I mean, right now, the reality is, I know how it goes in chapel. There are some of you back there that are kind of laughing you away. You know, I can see. I'm a teacher. I know what's going on out there. I see a few of you, you know, smiling, cutting your eyes, you know, texting, doing different things like that. What is happening is this passage, which is calling to you, you are responding to as empty words. As if these words have nothing to do with you. When God is calling to you, throwing them down on your heads in love and compassion and a desire to call you into His way of life. For you to see that these words are life to you. They are life. They are at the center of what it means for you to fulfill the purpose of God in your life and to know what Jesus called abundant life, extraordinary life. So those words your boyfriend spoke to you last night, are those empty words to you or are they life to you? Those words on that TV program you love to watch, are they empty words or are they life? Those words of encouragement from a friend who used Scripture and irritated you because they brought out the Scripture to say, hey, maybe this is something you need to think about in this decision. Are those words empty words, or are they life? The Scripture is the embodiment of God's Word to us. Eugene Peterson, in his book, Eat This Book, writes, we open this book and find that page after page, it takes us off guard, surprises us, draws us into its reality, pulls us into participation with God on His terms. The Word transports us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It transfixes us with its beauty. It translates the thoughts of God to us. It transposes the value system of the world, replacing it with the value system of God. It transcends the mundane and gives us real purpose for living. In short, it transforms us by its power. But the question is, will you and I discern it? Will we grasp its significance for us today? Will we embrace God's Word as life and see the world's words as empty? Gary Preston tells a story from years ago when the primary means of communication was done by telegraph and Morse code. There were a number of men who had come into this office because they wanted a job as telegraph operators. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. So a young man came in last. He sat down, took the form, filled it out. Seven other applicants were around. But after a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Well, naturally, the other applicants perked up. They wondered what was going on. They were ready to see this guy thrown out of the office because he had been so bold. But within a few minutes, the young man emerged from the inner office, escorted by the interviewer, who announced to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man." The other applicants began grumbling to each other, and then one spoke up saying, "Now, wait a minute, I don't understand something. He was the last one to come in, and we never got a chance to be interviewed, and yet he got the job. It's not fair." But the employer responded, "I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did. He gets the job." The Word of God is clicking all around you today. Do you discern it? Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "Because I am a Christian, therefore, every day in which I do not penetrate more deeply into the knowledge of God's Word in Holy Scripture is a lost day for me. I can only move forward with certainty upon the firm ground of the Word of God. And as a Christian, I learn to know the Holy Scriptures in no other way than by hearing the Word preached and by prayerful meditation on it as I read." After Moses finished reciting all these words to all the people of Israel, he said to them, "Embrace in your heart all these words I am solemnly speaking to you today, so that you may instruct your children to follow carefully all the words of this law. For they are not empty words to you, but they are your life. And by them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." Dear students, colleagues, may you and I live long in the land God gives us. We will do so by embracing His words as life. Let's pray.